which is Zion, the mission now brings another two different opinions for the same case where Kodshe Kodshim became Tome. Rabbi Eliezer says that we don't look at two things. According to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, we look at two things. Number one, how high is the level of Tumah? And number two, we also look at where it became Tomei. But according to Eliezer, we only care about how high the level of Tumah is. And therefore, that which became Tomei with an Avatumah, so that's a high level of Tumah, Bimifnim, Bimachutz, whether it happened inside or outside of the Beis HaMikdash, Yisarif Bechutz, it should be burnt outside because it's a high level of Tumah, but that which became Tomei with a low level of Tumah, that is the key factor, Bimifnim, Bimachutz, whether it happened inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside, Yisarif Bifnim, it should be burnt inside the Beis HaMikdash because it is a low level of Tumah. And the Rabbanon only decreed on a high level of Tumah. Okay, now we have the exact opposite opinion. Rabbi Akiva says, Mekom tum asai, sham sreif asai. The place where it became Tomei, that is where you burn it. If it became Tomei inside the Beis HaMikdash, then it is burnt in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. If it became Tomei outside of the Beis HaMikdash, then it is burnt anywhere in Yerushalayim, just like all Kodshim Kalim. So we pretty much had four opinions, which covered every different option which you could have.
Mishlechetz, the first half of the final Mishnah of the Masechta talks about how after the Korban Tomid, which was the korban which was brought every single day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, no matter what day of the year, every single day the korban tomid was brought, and after slaughtering the korban and throwing its blood on the mizbeach, they would take the animal apart and place different parts of the animal, limb by limb, on the ramp of the mizbeach. The mizbeach had a ramp which was 32 amos long and 16 amos wide, and after placing the limbs on the ramp, the kohanim would then leave them there, go to the lishkas hagozis, which was one of the chambers in the Beis HaMikdash, and they would say Shema over there. They would recite Kriyas Shema, and then they would come back to the ramp and actually bring up the limbs to the top of the Mizbeach, where they would be offered on the fire of the Mizbeach. And the truth is, this wasn't only done with the Korban Tomid, it was also done with other Korbanis, such as the Korban Musaf. The question is, where on the ramp would they place these limbs? Evari Tomid, the limbs of a Korban Tomid, Nitonim Nichatzi Kevish Alamata, would be placed on the lower half of the ramp, by Mizrach in the east. So in the lower east corner of the ramp, that is where they were placed. There are other Mishnayos which read Bamarov in the west, Vashel Musafin, whereas the limbs of a Korban Musaf, if it's a day such as Shabbos or Yom Tov, where a Korban Musaf is also brought, then Nitonim Michatzi Kevesh or Lamata Bamarov, those limbs are placed on the lower half of the ramp, on the west side. And of course those Mishnayos which read Bamarov in the beginning part of the Mishnah would read Bamizrach now in the east. Now, generally, the west side is considered more holy. The Shekhinah is said to be in the west side. And also in the Beis HaMikdash, the west side of the ramp of the Mizbeach was the side which was nearer to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, continues the Mishnah. What happens if it's Rosh Chodesh? If it's Rosh Chodesh, there is also a Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh which is brought. And in this instance, the Sharoshi Chodoshim, the Korban Musaf, the limbs of a Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, we're going to read the next part of the Mishnah. Some Mishnahs have different words, but we are going to read it as follows. Netonin mitachas karkiv ha-mizbeach melemata. Those limbs are placed just beneath the karkiv of the Mizbeach, which refers to the part of the Mizbeach where the Kohen would actually walk around. The way the Mizbeach was built is that it wasn't just one simple wall on the side of the Mizbeach. Rather, the Mizbeach went up a few amos, and then it went inwards, and then it continued going up. So the Kohanim could actually walk around sort of on a higher level. Halfway up the Mizbeach, the Kohanim could actually walk on the Mizbeach around it. That was known as the Karkov. And so the Mishnah is saying that from the height of the Mizbeach, where the Karkov is, from that height on the ramp upwards, that is where the limbs of the Korban Musaf of Rosh Chodesh were placed. So pretty much on the top, the upper half of the ramp, or perhaps just below that, they were placed there, and the reason being was that in those days Rosh Chodesh wasn't fixed, so it could fall out on one of 2 days, and so in order to announce to people that that day was Rosh Chodesh so that they would know, they would put the limbs on the higher part of the Mizbeach so that they were more visible for people to see. Now, ironically, although the past few prokem haven't really been talking about shkolim at all, in the second half of the last Mishnah, we now go back to the subject of the Masechta, which is shkolim. And even then, we're talking about other things as well. Hashkolim, the obligation for everybody to contribute to machtzis shekel, the habikurim, the obligation of bikurim, which refers to one's first fruit of a tree to ripen. It is an obligation to bring them up to the Beis HaMikdash, and are given to kohanim. But of course, these two mitzvahs are very much dependent on the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, a nagin en abayim v'nei abayis, they only apply in front of the Beis HaMikdash, meaning that after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, these two mitzvahs do not apply anymore. On the other hand, avol ma'aser dagon, But the tithes which need to be separated from grain, such as trumas, which have to be given to Kohanim, Maisarishim, which has to be given to a Levi, and the other various tithes, we're going to see that does apply even without a Beis HaMikdash, because once Eretz Yisrael received its Kedusha, its holiness and sanctity, so even once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael remained. And so grain which grows there is still obligated in those unique laws of the tithes. Umaisa behema and the tithe of one's animals, the obligation to separate 1/10 of his animals which are born each year and bring them as korbonos and eat them in Yerushalayim. That also applies even without the Beis HaMikdash, meaning the aspect that you have to designate 1/10 of one's animals as maisa behema. That applies even without a Beis HaMikdash, because even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the halacha was that if that animal develops a wound, then it is not brought as a korban, rather it can be slaughtered and eaten. So without a Beis HaMikdash, one just has to wait for it to develop a wound. One can't do it himself, he has to wait for it to happen naturally, and then he'd be able to slaughter it and eat it himself. Now the truth is, the Gemara does say that later on, the Rabbanon said that Maisa Behema doesn't apply at all after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, because the halacha is that until the animal does develop a wound, it's forbidden to work that animal, or even benefit from the shearings. But if after separating 1/10 of all of your animals, that can be a lot of animals, and if you wait around for them to develop a wound, it's very likely that you might come to actually use those animals, and work them, or shear them. And so Rabbanon said that it will be better that you don't designate the Maisa Behema at all, once there is no Beis HaMikdash standing. And thirdly, we have a chayres, firstborn animals which one needs to give to a kohen, and it needs to be brought as a korban, unless it's got a wound, in which case it would be eaten. So since that, again, does not have to be brought as a korban, ultimately you could wait and then end up eating it. So it applies even without a Beis HaMikdash. All these three things, no argument between Fnei HaBayis, Pnei Mishlo, Fnei HaBayis, they apply whether with a Beis HaMikdash or without. Alright, ends off the Masechta, Hamakdish Shkolim of Bikurim. One who designates Shkolim or Bikurim as Hekdush, meaning he designates money as Shkolim, or he designates fruit as Bikurim for the Beis HaMikdash, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So we said earlier in this Mishnah that these mitzvahs do not apply without a Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, if one did designate it after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Harizeh Kodesh, it does become holy, the designation is valid, and you would need to leave those Bikurim fruit until they become moldy, and also the money you would have to leave, you wouldn't be able to benefit from it, rather you would need to hide it in a particular place, and leave it there unused. Now Rabbi Shimon argues in the case of Bikurim, Rabbi Shimon says, Ha'imer Bikurim Kodesh, Einon Kodesh, one who declares Bikurim holy. He designates the first fruit as Bikurim. Einon Kodesh, they do not become holy, the designation is invalid. The reason being that the Torah specifically says that the entire obligation of Bikurim is that Tovi Beis Hashem Aleikecha, that you should bring the fruit to the house of Hashem your God. So the whole mitzvah is dependent on the Beis HaMikdash, even more than the Shkolim because of the Pesukim. And so Rabbi Shimon learns from there that the designation is totally invalid if there is no Beis HaMikdash standing. Solik Maseches Shkolim Mazel Tov.